Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to tonight to spend a little time preaching, but testifying, Lord. And Lord, thank you for a church, dear God, Lord, that we can do some unusual things, Lord. We have the ability here, the blessing here, to do some things that many churches could only dream about doing. And Lord, we understand that that's your good hand and blessing and grace upon us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, as I kind of report to the church tonight, that you would bless this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The inspiration for the book of Luke was a letter written from Luke to Theophilus. By the way, the book of Acts also was simply a letter written from Luke to Theophilus. Two different times, God used this format to preserve the very words of God. Luke experienced some amazing things, first of all, in the Gospel of Luke, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then during the beginning, birthing years of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. Two different times, he felt led of the Spirit to sit down and share these things, what God had done, what he had seen, the eyewitness account of what he had seen with people, with a man who did not have the opportunity to be there and see it. Several of our men mentioned to me after the testimony service of our young people, "Preacher, we'd really like to hear from you a little bit about the trip, if you have some time or some liberty." And I prayed about that and thought, as I began to think about it, I thought the kids did a great job. But maybe from a pastor's standpoint, I could just spend some time testifying. When Paul came back from missionary journeys, he'd always go back to the home church. You know what he'd do? He'd give a report. And so I guess that's what tonight's going to be, a little bit of a testimony time concerning some of the things that happened on the missions trip and the good hand of God that was upon us. And also, I think, a way of thanking the church and sharing with you, you participated. You may not have been there, but you participated. When we plan a missions trip, it may be a segment of the church that goes, but everybody participates because they sacrifice, they give, they pray, and thank God for that. It's only right and fitting that because of that, we could come tonight and give you a good report. And so I jotted down some things this afternoon as I was thinking about this, just asking the Lord, in the amount of time that we have, the things that he would like to share. Many of you that have gone on youth trips, youth conferences, camps, I don't care if you're an adult, you can think back, missions trips, it's always a challenge to come back and try to take what you've experienced firsthand and share it in such a way that you hope the folks will get it. I'll do the best I can. But I did jot down some things tonight that I wanted to share with you and bring before the church. Number one, I want to thank the Lord publicly for the good safety that he gave us on the trip. And I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of the people were praying. You may or may not understand this, but I was talking to Brother Jack and Sister Penny about this back when they were the youth leaders and they used to take us on trips. Whether you understand it or not, when you take other people's children and you take them on a trip like this, there is a huge weight of responsibility that descends upon your shoulders and remains there until you see those kids get off that bus and go over and hug their parents, get in their car, and you hand them off. I remember the very first time that I left the country with teenagers and we drove to El Paso, Texas, and all into Mexico, and especially taking them out of the country. By the time I got them back here and I watched them handed off to their parents, I went into my office as soon as I made sure everybody was taken care of, got their stuff. I went in my office, sat down, and bawled for about 20 minutes because whether or not I didn't even realize what I was carrying. I was too green to understand that But I remember the relief just to know, thank you, God, for taking care of these young people. These are the most precious things these families have. And so I want to thank the Lord for giving us safety. I mentioned the incident with the bus starting to run out of fuel and an inaccurate fuel gauge. And yet the Lord seeing to it that that happened somewhere where we were able to get off on an exit and literally coast into a gas station as the bus finished running out of fuel and fill up. And thank God for his safety. Now, folks, listen to me. I share these things with you because whenever we do things like this, it may not seem an important thing when we ask you to pray, but it is an important thing. I believe that that wasn't dumb luck or boy, didn't we get it just worked out. I believe that was the hand of God in moving in answer to the prayer of God's people to watch over these young people. I want to again thank Brother Abel. He's very accomplished. Of course, this man is a professional driver. This is what he does. He's a professional driver. You can call yourself a professional if you get paid for it. Amen. You're not a professional baseball player unless you cash a check. Some of you drive like you are a NASCAR driver, but unless you actually cash a check, you're not a professional driver. He's a professional driver, and at the same time, very dependent upon the Lord, and so glad we don't pull the bus off of any place without praying first. We don't move that bus without stopping and joining together in prayer. Safety of the Lord. Number two, I just want to remind our church about this because I got to see it firsthand, the power of gospel tracts. And we have a church that keeps the preacher ordering tracts all the time. I've talked to pastors who, you know what? Honestly, they told me I haven't had to replenish a tract rack in a year. I thank God I don't pastor a church like that. I mean, literally, if I don't keep up on a weekly basis, then there's empty slots back there. Thank you, church, for doing that. And then Brother Levi, he talked to me about this very subject and wanted to set some goals. And God burdened his heart about it. I said, let's do it. And to watch our young people pass out over 1,100 gospel tracts on this trip, folks, listen to me. There's, I believe with all my heart, stories that we'll only know in heaven as a result of the gospel that was passed out on this trip. And I thank God that people still will take gospel tracts and read them. I think I mentioned we were in a me and Cheryl was in a fast food place. I don't know which one. They all run together after a while. And the kids were kind of over an area. Me and her were sitting over here talking at a separate area. And a guy sat down beside us, a man, and Cheryl turned around and gave him a gospel tract. And it was one of our carts. Give me this mountain car. And I leaned over and introduced myself and said, hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Thank you for taking the tract. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to insist that you come visit our church. Because our church, we're in Connecticut when this happens. Our church is in Indiana. And he flips it over, Indiana, and started a conversation with him. And so I said, I'm not going to insist that you visit, but if you do, I said, I will give you some type of award for traveling the farthest anybody ever has to come visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we just got a nice conversation going, and then we had to leave. But when we left, he'd flipped that card back over, and he was reading the back of the card and going through the verses, and I mean taking his time, you could tell he was reading it. I walked out, looked back, he's still reading that tract. I hope I see him in heaven one of these days. The power of gospel tracts. Number three, let me just say this, and we can enjoy it right here. How about this? The beauty of God's creation. It just amazes me. We live in a wonderful country, a beautiful country. I don't have much of a desire left in me, honestly, to ever leave the United States of America. I think there's so much of our country that I'll never get to see. And you talk about diversity and beauty in one country. It's just amazing what we're blessed with. But I'm glad the young people got to see Niagara Falls. I'm glad they got to drive through the New England states during the time of the coloring of changing of the leaves. And, there is something about that. I don't care what time of year it is. There's a unique beauty that comes with what God has created. Now remember, folks, this is while it's under the sin curse. Can you imagine what it looked like before sin messed with it? And I think about that new heaven and the new earth that's going to be created one of these days. And you think this is beautiful. I think we'll just walk around for eternity saying, do you believe this is unreal? No seas then. So God's going to have a lot more canvas to do his handiwork on. And the beauty of God's creation. We enjoyed that. We saw his handiwork here everywhere we went. Number four, let me just mention this, the blessing of adult leadership. And I'm going to talk about the young people in a minute, but let me remind our church that, you know what? It's a team effort around here. It's a team effort in everything we do. You know what children's ministry is? It's a team effort. You know, the first time that I told our folks, listen, I want to have several times this year, I want to have meetings with the bus ministry workers and children's ministry workers. You know, I guess I had not pictured that crowd in my mind until the first meeting that I showed up. And I stood here at the front thinking maybe we'd have half of this, and we had this entire side filled up. Now, let me just remind you of this, folks. Everything that's done around here, whether it's working with the children or working with the teenagers, there's a team involved. And I appreciate all of the different members of our church that touch the life of our young people and touch the life of our teenagers. On this particular trip, of course, Cheryl, me and her have been doing this for a lot of years. I can't just tell you what a stabilizing factor she is. I think you probably know that because she is here in our church. And there's just a steadiness and a godliness. And at the same time, she knows how to have fun. My opinion, perfect wife. That's what I'm saying. But I want to thank her for going on this trip with us because she's just a blessing, adds so much. Brother Levi and Sister Christina, you know, it's hard to find young couples. And the Lord has not chosen to bless them with children yet. But because of that, you know, it's hard to find anybody in that age bracket where, you know, they have the freedom still to just kind of jump and run and go. But Brother Levi is just a blessing, and Sister Christina. I mean, they were so much fun. And then I put an added responsibility on him for the first couple days of travel. And boy, he never blinked, never missed a beat, just led. And I want to thank him and his wife again. Sister Angie Sagersey went with us, and she's such a blessing. Just, again, brings the right spirit, brings a servant's heart, just contributes so much, helps the young ladies. I was talking to her on the trip, and she said that, you know, how thankful she was that she's able to go. And she said, you know, she got it in her mind that I used her because Janae is, you know, the diabetes thing with her. Now, really, Janae don't need her. Sister Angie just hasn't realized it yet. You pray for Sister Angie because we're about a year away from her having to come to the stark realization that she can't go to Bible college with her. Well, we hope not. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe she will. First year, you know, hey, just to see if she gets settled. We'll see how that goes. I would use Angie Staggersby whether or not Janae had this health issue or not. She's just good to have on the trip and a blessing. And I said something to her. We were talking about it. She's talking about what a blessing for her to go. And it occurred to me, her and Tim got saved later on in life. And I thought, you know, they didn't get a chance to take teen trips when they were teenagers. They weren't saved. And I thought, well, how neat is it that the Lord's allowing them to get in on a little bit of this? And so I appreciate her. And Brother Abel, I already mentioned him, but Brother Abel, good. Now, you talk about a man with a good spirit, great spirit. I mean, you see Greg Abel, you see a smile. And no matter what happens or, you know, what we're faced, it just nothing throws him. He's just steady as can be. And then, you know, the Lord just gave us a good group of adults to go and help with the young people. And me and Cheryl go, but the honest truth is a lot of the work's not done by us. It's done by the good people that are with us. And then I wanted to share this with you, thinking of all the blessings of the trip. How about this? I was reminded of the power of good music. The power of good music. And again, one of the people that's part of the team of people that helped me with the teenagers is Brother Nathan and his wife, Lauren. For now about a year, they've been coming early on Wednesday nights. And I call it team training hour. If you've ever been in here, I don't know how much training gets done. I gotta have a time where I can just talk with the young people. That's what it was to me. I mean, the kids come in here, they sit on the first two or three rows. I usually sit there on the altar, and I'm like, okay, what happened today? What's going on? okay, you know, anybody pull anything stupid, you know, that you want to confess before I find out about it? And, you know, and they start talking about crazy stuff, and we laugh and have a good time. Well, about 15 minutes into that nonsense, Brother Nathan and his wife come in, and then I say, okay, and I'm going to turn it over to them. And they work with our young people as far as just introducing them to their lives good music. And, you know, you can call it teen choir practice. I don't know what it is, but, you know, he just gets them singing and just lets them introduce the songs to them and put songs in their heart. We have something very unique going on right now. I've never had a group of teens that are as singing a group as this group of teens we have. And we've had groups of teens that like to sing, but we are really blessed right now. I mean, I can take these young people anywhere, and you know what? They walk up and they provide all the special music for a meeting, and that's what we did. But listen, that was planned. We worked on that. But what the great part about good music is you know, it's not confined to those moments. These kids were singing all the time. They were singing in all kinds of different situations, places. They sang on the bus. They just break out the song and sing for 15 or 20 minutes, you know. And what a blessing that is. Listen, I think music is an important discipleship tool. And I believe you get the right kind of music in the hearts of young people, I think it creates a hedge around their heart and their soul. I think if God uses it as a barrier against bad influence. And there's just something about kids. Listen, don't ever quit singing. Sing the right songs. Get that good music in your heart. And then go ahead and use it for the Lord. Well, I wish you could see that the church, Brother Paul Chapman's church's reaction to our young people singing. Because, you know, Brother Nathan's good. Brother Bud's good at teaching them, you know, the parts and all that. What I'm good at is just teaching them to sing loud, okay? You're going to be shocked about this, but closing night of the Atlanta meeting before with Jay Reed, of the special music group that was supposed to sing, there's thickness through his church. And so he walks in the office 10 minutes before the service and says, all three of the people involved in special music tonight are sick. They're not going to be here. And he said, what part do you sing? And he looked at me and said, what part do you sing? And I said, loud. First of all, I don't know what the parts are. He just laughed. I said, no, that's what I do. I sing loud. He said, okay. All right, then you got the lead. And I'm like, what do you mean we got the lead? He said, we're singing tonight. And he said, what song do you know? And I said, well, the kids are all lead up with this. I'm still on the throne. And he has two assistant pastors. And he's like, go get that music. And he's, yeah, we got that in our choir. And he runs back in. Now it's 8 minutes till. All right? And Jay Reed pulls out his guitar and says, let's go. And he's like, you got the lead. And young people, are you impressed? Come on now. You think I'm just back here in the corner messing around, but when I need to, I can lead a quartet. And I did. Say, how'd it go? It was loud. It was loud, brother. In fact, when I got done, he stopped and somebody said, man, you do sing loud, don't you? Yeah, sing good, but I sing loud. And so we had a good time, man, crazy stuff. But, you know, just I love singing. I love the choir, the teen choir, their spirit. I mean, they take off on a song, and literally the church there in Rhode Island, I mean, they couldn't get enough of it. And then the trio, the two trios that sang, and some of the kids brought their instruments and played, and it was just a blessing. Man, just fill your life with good music. I don't know how to emphasize it enough. If you haven't done it yet, you fill your car, you fill your house, you fill your life with good music, and I promise you, you are creating a protection in your life and a source of blessing that there's just nothing else that's going to do it the same way. Number six, excitement the excitement of good investments. You know what I got to see? I got to see how exciting it is to just serve the Lord and keep investing in people. You think about where we got to go, you know. We had an opportunity to go out to Pastor Paul Chapman's church. And I think of these many years ago when a youth revival was held at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Many of the people in this room worked to make that youth revival possible. Drove buses to make that youth revival. Teenagers that are now adults that went out and visited for that youth revival. And a young man that sat on the back row back when we used to have a whole back row back there and listened to a sermon at a youth revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the early 90s, and afterwards fell under Holy Spirit conviction. Went down, chased down his bus captain, Brother Bo, came back in, sat on the back row, and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that man's pastoring in Wakefield, Rhode Island. And we got to be in his church. And I thought, boy, thank God for the bus ministry. I mean, thank God for faithful bus workers. Listen, you know, I know that it doesn't always work out, but enough of it works out where I'm just going to keep doing it. Amen? And so thank God. Thank God for that. Good investment. That was a good investment. Amen, Brother Paul. And then we show up and he says, hey, Monday, was it Monday, I think, or Tuesday? Was it Monday we went over to see Brother Caleb Monday? And he said, I want to take you over to see Caleb's church. And Caleb Hall, I know, folks, Caleb Hall is pastoring. I mean, his name's on a church sign. I mean, Friendship Baptist Church Pastor Caleb Hall. And you just would not believe this young man. I mean, the Lord's anointing's on him. And the Lord's given him a lovely wife and two little boys. Oh, my goodness sakes, just adorable. I got him out there, took a picture by the church sign. He showed me the building. We took a whole tour through it. Friendship Baptist Church of Warwick, Rhode Island. I asked Brother Paul, how many independent fundamental Baptist churches do you know of in Rhode Island? He says, I know of six. Now, Rhode Island is very small. I know of six. Do you realize, folks, that of the six independent fundamental Baptist churches in Rhode Island, two of them are pastored by young people that were reached at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? That's pretty exciting. You know, one of the blessings of just coming to a church and just staying and just investing and just pouring your life into something is that, you know what, if you stay long term, you get to see the results of it. And I thought, how much fun is this? I mean, I said, I walked away after a while, and him and I wanted to take a picture of the church, so I get away, and him and Paul's on the front step of Caleb's church. There's little steps to go up to the front of the church, and I'm out there taking a picture, and then I just stand there and bawl. I said, thank God. Thank God I didn't kill him. So close a couple times, I almost killed Caleb. And he did turn out, and he's a pastor now. And I learned something. I did. You should not kill your teenagers. You should not. No matter how bad you want to, you should not. And then, folks, on the way home, we got to stop at Jim Townsley's church. And, folks, you know what he reminded me? He told his people this on a Wednesday night. He said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, second church that voted on to take me on for support when I was leaving to go to Connecticut. You know what, church? And now watch this. Brother Townsley, that's a miracle ministry out there. I mean, for the most part, Connecticut is not getting more godly. And the handful of independent fundamental Baptist churches, for the most part, are not prospering. They're not growing. Many are diminishing. Pastors that used to be full-time are taking on part-time jobs, full-time jobs. It is a tough area to minister. And yet, in the middle of all that is this unexplainable ministry. Only it is explainable. Because it's the good hand of God. And it's growing and it's expanding. And it's got a huge Christian school and a Bible college. And just you walk around that and I think, you know what, folks? Watch this. Not only that, Brother Jim Townsley, very, very, very involved in this matter of church planting. Very involved. I mean, cutting edge. I mean, you know what? The man wrote the book on it. And just eat up with it and has been personally responsible. And then you see his son. We drove over to see his son's church, David. This church picked up David Townsley and carried him on until he was able to be full time. And I got to walk into that church. Brother Townsley said, it's 45 minutes. I said, I want to see it. And we jumped in his truck and we drove over there. David met us there. I walked around. Here it, folks, I wish you could see it. This building was a bar. It was a bar. When they disassembled the bar, they took the wood from the bar and they took it back and they built their PA booth out of it. How cool is that? That's cool. And I mean, they've redone this. If you stood outside the church, you'd think this was built, this building was built to be a church. I mean, all they need is a white steeple. And I mean, you'd think it was always a church. And here again, you know what? Another investment. And folks, whatever's happening out there, you know what? We get a little part of that. Some of that goes to our account. And I thought how exciting that was. And then, I write down these investment things, but I think about Brian Morris, too. And you know what? That was an investment me and Cheryl made in a young man. On the way home, he was telling me, he said, "Preacher, you know what?" He said, "For a short amount of time, a little bit of time, about 3 or 4 years, as a teenager, he said, I was in the right kind of church, under the right kind of preaching. And he said, then my family, he said, it wasn't my decision, but my parents' decision to leave that church. He said, I cannot tell you the spiral spiritually that I went into after leaving a good Bible preaching church. But he said, you know what? No matter how far away I got, everything I heard and everything I learned, it followed me. And now he's come full circle, married a sweet wife. They got 7 children. And I don't know, they may have the 8th one by now. I don't know. And Sister Amanda Morris got on the bus, 8.5 months pregnant. I was praying she'd have the baby. I was so excited. I mean, something weird's got to happen on every trip, right? Teen trip, you got to have a memory. What a cool memory would that be? I'm like, Brother Abel. Brother Abel has this thing where he read where he says that the altitude changes sometimes initiates contractions and labor. So I said, I want you to map on the way home, go through the highest mountains we can find on the way home. Let's see if we can get this baby going. And never did work out for me. So, but just the excitement of good investments. Good investments. And then I thought about this, just the excitement of being able to take a missions trip. Now, I'm not going to pretend in any manner because of the time differences, everything. You know, I don't want to say, I have a hard time bringing this up, but the Apostle Paul went on some missionary journeys. These home missions trips are just a little taste of what Paul got to do. And I understand there's so many ways it doesn't compare, but in some way, it's a taste of it. How neat to be able to go somewhere else and just say, we're going to serve God. We're going to help people. We're going to encourage a church. And the excitement of being able to go on a home missions trip. Again, our young people are very, I think, blessed and I think very unusual in this manner. I think I can speak for them. And if not, they'll tell me later. But, if I told them, okay, you're going to go to a camp, a conference, or you get to go on a missions trip, I think most of them would say, let's go on a missions trip. We've got a group of young people that want to put their hands to something and do something for the Lord. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. And so camp's good. Conferences are good. We all need to sometimes just go somewhere and just sit under preaching. But I was so excited to see our young people get involved in a missions trip. And then we saw very much up front, let me just say this, folks, and it's kind of a negative thing, but it's here in America. We saw the impact of humanism. Now, it's really hard to understand the difference between our part of the country and the East Coast. But I will tell you this, folks. Me and my wife several years ago went to Australia, and they said that Australia is about 20, 25 years ahead of the United States of America in this matter of humanism, liberalism, socialism. I think we've caught up in a remarkable fashion, especially on the right coast and the left coast. Here in rural America, we still aren't even understanding. For instance, Brother Townsend said this. He said, you may have a hard time understanding why America would vote in the liberal leadership that we have. He said, I minister here. I have no trouble understanding it. He said, you don't understand. He said, you guys are very much protected. You still have a conservative view, a Bible-based view, although, folks, that's changing here. And what our young people had to run into and face was the fact that our country is becoming godless. And I mean boldly godless. You offer a tract to 10 people in Greene County and probably 10 people take it. You may have one person say no. Our young people were offering 4 to 5 tracts before one person would take it. And you know what? They were not shy at all at looking them right in the eye and telling them they didn't want it. They weren't interested. Many of them were honestly meaner and bolder than that. Some of them told one of our young men said, I not only don't believe in God, I mock and make fun of anybody stupid enough to do it. Say that to a young person. Now, folks, this is America. Whether we understand it, this is more of America than we understand. We have parents, as one of the young ladies shared with us, parents that are protecting their young people against any exposure to the gospel, any exposure to the knowledge of God. children and teenagers, for the most part, would be open and reachable. Who's standing in the way? Moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas? Telling the kids, don't you take that stuff. And protecting them from it. As we were standing outside of Walmart, I was gathering the kids up, and a mother and her child came out, and the little boy said to his mother as they were passing me, he said, I threw away that card that those Christians gave me. And the mother said this, that's good. That's what you should always do with that stuff. They shouldn't be doing that. That's what you should always do with that stuff. I mean, here's a parent saying, you were handed the gospel, now go throw it in the trash, and always do that in your life. I mean, listen, folks, that may seem extreme. Just give this area another 10 or 15 years. Everything that starts on the coast come in. And more, I told our young people, well, I'm glad you had to face that. I'm glad you had to. I mean, our kids were chewed out. They were yelled at. They were cussed. And they were turned down again and again and again. Now, here's the awesome part. They didn't quit. I mean, it wasn't me having to pull them off the side and say, give them a pep talk and tell them, keep going. No, you know what? They just decided we're going to, you know, so what? And you know what? If four people say no and the fifth one says yes, then that's one person that got the gospel. And they need to get that because this is the America they're going to grow up in. And I told them, I'm glad you got exposed to that because that's coming to a town near you. And this is the America you're going to have to try to win people in. And you know what? You better get thick skin. You better just be willing to do it. And so I was so proud of them for that. But the impact of humanism on our country, folks, as it has been introduced into the public school system, and now, my goodness sakes, it's just everywhere. And there is a growing population of people that absolutely are very proudly and openly agnostic and atheistic and have no, they don't even pretend anymore. And the impact of humanism, let me say this, number nine, the power of a unified group of diverse personalities. The power of a unified group of diverse personalities. We have a wide range of personalities in our youth group. And yet, to watch them all come together and just work as one. That's the picture of the church. I wouldn't want it any other way. We're not trying to make everybody the same. We're trying to get everybody on the same page. And you know what? God can use anybody of any type of personality if they'll give themselves over to the Lord. God doesn't want you to be a robot. He wants you to be you. He wants you to be a Holy Spirit-filled you, but He wants you to be who He made you to be. And it's so much fun. I wrote down the kids' names that went on the trip, and I can't tell you how much every single one of these kids are a blessing. And so different and yet wonderful as a group. Faith Reiser took the trip with us, and I wrote this. I put a word by every kid so you can imagine, just start thinking ahead. Faith is so genuine. It's just, I don't know, is that right? Am I getting that right? That girl is just so genuine. She's blonde, but she's genuinely blonde. I told the kids, and sat there in spirits, and told them, you know, folks, listen, I tried to get us tickets to go on the boat under Niagara Falls. That didn't work out. But the good news is we are going to be able to rent barrels, get in them, and we'll be able to ride barrels over the... And she sits on her front row, looks at me and says, Preacher, is that true? And I love it. Everything she believes is genuine with her. I love faith. Amelia Bobenstein, how do I explain me? I put this word, spirit. And she does. She brings such a sweet, good spirit to our group. She's fun. And she's not bashful. I don't know where she gets that, but she's not bashful. And when I'm like, hey, kids, let's do this, even if it's something hard, she'll be the first one. This is one of the key phrases I hear from her. She'll look around and say, we can do this. I love that. I love that. And then Nathaniel Klein. Here's the word I have for Nathaniel, steady. Nathaniel is just steady. And something weird's going on because... when I'm having a conversation with you lately, I feel like I'm talking to your dad. His voice, am I going crazy? His voice, his mannerisms, the way he says, Pastor, it's just like I'm going. And I'm going to tell you this, by the way, that's a good thing.
That's a compliment.
Now, Nathaniel very much his own person, but you know what? He's kind of just got that Craig Kleinsteady personality. Just there, just anything I need, just right there. And then there's Gracie. I wrote down two words because it's going to take two. Delightfully unpredictable. Is she in here? Where's Gracie? Is she not here? Is she not in here? Oh, good. Then I got free license. All right, good. She is. Gracie, just, is she in the nursery? Oh, is she sick? Okay, see, there you go. Who would have predicted that? And she just surprises me. I don't know how to say this. I got this thing where I think I know who Gracie is, and she just does things and says things that all the time just make me look at her and say, who is this kid? But always in a delightful way. So I'm going to stop. All right? Asa Klein. I need a word. Somebody help me. No. See? I have so much more tact than you have. I put unique. The difference between our ages, wisdom, and all of that. I really like Asa. I really like him. And he is. He's just a very different young man. And very unique. His personality is very unique. Some of the things he said, very unique. But again, just a real deal. I am so glad he's in our youth group. I look at our junior high kids, and you know what? Come on, you were a junior high kid. Let's not be too hard on. But you know what? I look at our junior high group and say, we got a good future here. And I can see Asa, honestly, becoming just a strong leader and a good young man in our youth group. And so then there's JC. And I wrote this beside her name. All right, are you ready for this? I put the word deep because I know that's not the word you were wanting. All right, but you know they say still waters run deep. This girl she thinks very deeply. She feels very deeply, and sometimes it's hard for everything that's in her for her to allow it to come to the surface. But I've got to work with her enough now where I really like what I see below the surface. And I'm a big J.C. Abel fan. And I think she's going to be wonderful for the Lord. And I like this kid. I like her. Lucas, I put down the word servant. I mean, Lucas is just, you know what? I mean, not only is he ready to help in any way he can, he's very capable in helping. It's almost honestly like having another adult. Only, you know what? He's still a teen. But in a pinch, if I need something, I can turn around and look at that young man, and, you know, Nathaniel's very much the same. You know what? I can just about hand them any adult. Am I right, Brother Levi? I can hand them adult responsibilities, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. And he's just got a great servant's heart. Samuel is bold. I mean, I honestly cannot believe a junior hire has the boldness that this young man has. He just literally chained me as I watched him so courageously pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. He's a young Greg Abel. He's learned some good things from his daddy. Brother Abel's that way. He'd go up and hand a tract to the devil. I mean, he would. And smile and probably get him to take it. I mean, that's, it's a crazy thing. He'd get him to take it. And Samuel just, well, he'll just go out there and he just, you know, okay. Tristan, I put down this word, nuts. Nuts. But it's really good. It's a good nuts. I'm going to tell you, Tristan has unbelievable people skills. Unbelievable. Say, preacher, are you lifting up men tonight? No, I'm lifting up a God who makes people who they are. Okay? And you know what? That's good. I'm glad that you understand how all these pieces fit together? If any one of these kids were the same as, if you took anything that I just said and said, I wish all of them was that, you realize what we would have lost on that trip? Tristan brings a level of excitement and fun to any type of situation. And I mean, you know, as he's matured, especially in the last few years, in a very appropriate way. But you know what? Every church needs that. Every church needs that person can just walk in and take a room over and work with people and interact with people and know how to get people excited. And there's some video evidence of some very unusual things that went on in Levi and Tristan and Nathaniel's room that I don't know what to say about it. It's just, go ask Brother Levi. I think he has it. But Tristan, on the spur of the moment, can come up with the most fun, incredible, crazy things. If we're having a lull anytime, I just need to kind of look at him and say, okay, get something going. Now, sometimes I regret that I say that. But he'll get something going. He'll get it going. Janae is passionate. It starts in the core of who she is and it comes out. And she don't do anything halfway. She is full on. And she's turned that, by the way, to right. And she just, one of the few young people that I've heard say at an early age, I mean, look at me several times and say, I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my life. I like it when a kid just says that and don't give themselves an escape hatch. I mean, she's all or nothing, and you know what? She's all for the Lord. And she's just got such a passion and an energy that she brings to our group that's such a blessing. And then I have Dalton. And I have this word beside his name, becoming. Becoming. He's finding his way, amen? He's becoming. What he's becoming, I'm not sure yet. You know what's so fun about working long-term with young people is the ability. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I didn't start this the other day. I have watched kids like this. There are the raw materials in this young man as far as potential for just being used in an extraordinary way. It's there. It's just all trapped in the body of a junior high boy that doesn't always figure out how to let it get out properly. But more times than not, he gets it right. He gets it right. You know, he's the only one of the boys. I kind of threw out this, hey, if you want to preach on the trip, he showed up. He had a sermon ready. He just, you know, I like Dalton. He's part of the group of young men that Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be very excited about as far as the future of our youth group. Okay, and then there's Anna. I don't know what to say about Anna. I really don't. You were probably the most difficult one for me to come up with a word for. And I'm going to risk this. My wife knows my heart, so I have no fear. This girl is just wonderful. And she is. I'm just telling you, in the course of youth groups, having youth groups, to have a senior girl like this, we're blessed. She just gets it. She doesn't have high highs. She doesn't have low lows. She is steady. Her mind is beyond her maturity. She's the real deal. And I just appreciate her. She just adds something that I don't know. Every time we graduate a group of seniors out, I think to myself, well, this year especially, I think to myself, what are we going to do? These kids have provided such great leadership. And but you know what's great about it? Every time I think, what are we going to do? They'll graduate out, and some young kids that have been kind of hanging back in the shadows will step up. And I look for that to happen. Anna, thank you for being you. Odie here? Where's Odie? Hi, Odie. Odie, when I think of Odie, I always think of the same word. I think a gift. Odie's a gift. She's a gift to our church. She's a gift to this preacher. I love the bus ministry. I mean, you may think I'm a pastor. I'm just a bus captain that's allowed to pastor. I am. That's where I cut my teeth. That's who I am. You know what? This girl validates what we're trying to do around here. And I just feel like, you know what? Thank God that usually in the course of our youth group, two or three times in a cycle, there will be a bus kid that just says, you know what? Every reason in the world not to. Absolutely no support, no encouragement as far as home, but just makes up her mind. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve God with my life. I'm going to give it all. And she's a gift. And then Katie McMillan. And here's the word for Katie. Where's she at? She's in the nursery. Okay. Can you hear me, Katie? Wave outside the door if you can. Hey, open the door of the nursery and wave if you can hear me. Okay. Here, yeah. Stay out. I just want to see your face. Okay, this is it. Spunky. That girl is funky. And I love it. I absolutely love it. She, again, kind of like Samuel, there is a courage and a boldness when it comes to stepping out and stepping up for the Lord that just, I mean, I don't know where this came from all of a sudden, because it just seemed like in the last year or so it's come. But this girl, we go to the Air Force Museum, and I mean, she would go to a general. She would go, it doesn't matter who it is. And she'd take those booklets, Grace Will Lead Me Home, and she'd walk up to them and she'd give it to them. And you know what? She'd put on that big smile and thank them for their service, and they'd melt and take the book. And she just, you know what? She's just got a fire in her to want to serve God. Now, look right up here, church. Let's be for all these kids. And if you couldn't smile and nod and agree with everything I said, well, I can tell you, yeah, I know, because you're always looking for that junk. And I could tell some negative things about you, too. Probably more than I could any of these kids. Why don't you just decide that you're going to root for every one of these kids and be for every one of these kids? Okay? Parents, if you'll do it, I never have teen problems. I never have teen drama problems. I have mama drama problems that affect teenagers. Shake your head right there. Like it, lump it. You get right, they'll be okay. If I have two girls can't get along, usually I got two moms can't get along. Okay, why aren't you rooting for everybody? Why don't you love everybody? Okay? What I'm saying is, church, you know what? Grow up. Get past that. Okay? I love them all. I love them all. And aren't you, isn't it neat how unique they are? The power of a unified group of diverse personalities. Let me give you the last one and we'll be done. The power of the preaching of God's Word. Thank you, children, that pray for your preacher. A lot of them are in master's clubs. Thank you, church, that pray for your preacher. I preached 18 times in 14 days. I'm not complaining. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the facts. I want to tell you something. I never cease to be amazed at the power of the preaching of God's Word. You know what? If I could tell a young preacher anything, I'd tell him, trust the Word of God. You don't have to get cute. You don't have to pull gimmicks. Just get up and preach the Bible. And then stand back and watch what God does with it. From the opening 4 days in Atlanta to preaching in Rhode Island multiple times to preaching twice in Connecticut to on the way home, just to watch God again and again and again show up when the Bible's preached. And so I want to share these thoughts with you tonight, church, and give you a report of God's goodness and grace, and watch care over us as we took this Rhode Island trip. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that we've been given here, and Lord, thank you for the young people that you've given us, and Lord, thank you for a church. Very instrumental in investing in our young people, loving our young people, praying for our young people. And Lord, even when I had to stop and address there, it's not widespread. A couple people just need a heart change. But thank you for the vast majority of our church that do not ever look at one of our young people with animosity or hatred or unkindness. Thank you for a church that gets it. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help that to continue always. Lord, I just believe these kids need to be surrounded by a church that just cheerleads every one of them, prays for every one of them, uplifts every one of them to God. And Lord, thank you, dear God, as we have a front row seat to the potter forming the clay. And thank you, Lord. What you make of them, that's in the hands of the potter. And what a wonderful thing to see, Lord, what you're doing. And Lord, continue to use, dear God, our church. Continue to use our young people, Lord. All of the things that you did in their hearts on this trip, Lord, don't let the devil take it away. And the Lord, protect them from discouragement and evil influence and, Lord, just the attacks of the devil on their life. It seems like any time you do something unusual for the Lord and sees the kind of things that we were allowed to see, the devil's waiting to try to undo what you've done. But I pray, dear God, that we hold very preciously and tightly to the supernatural experience that you allowed us to partake of and just bless, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.